It's time for JT the Brick.
Raiders defense is no joke. The offensive line is good. The Raider defensive line is better. We all agree on that, right? Mad Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins, those guys are train wreckers.
There's definitely a little tinkering going on. We'll see, you know, what sticks, and we'll put, you know, the best version of our defense out there, you know, at the beginning of the season, and hopefully it keeps improving.
But our freaking D-line is nasty. The D-line of the Raiders is nasty the way it used to be.
JT the Brick.
But this guy, Antonio Pierce, is going into L.A. like Russell Crowe in Gladiator going into Rome. Okay, this guy, Antonio Pierce, is going to be like the movie Gladiator, leading everyone into Los Angeles. And he ain't joking.
And now...
Don't worry about our quarterback, buddy. Worry about yours.
Here's JT the Brick.
Hour number two. JT with you as we continue on the flagship of the Silver and Black, Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM, and on the Raiders mobile app. Lot to get to. Michelle Beadle at the bottom of the hour on NBA free agency. And there's a lot happening. Mostly today is NHL movement and free agency and the NBA. Chris Chapman joins us, Magnum, who covers this Vegas Golden Knight team as good as anyone in town. And how do you even describe it? Because you know the history of hockey and business, and all teams have to evolve, the salary caps, contracts come and do. But I was shocked by the amount of movement by VGK players. What gives?
Yeah, JT, when I saw this morning, obviously, you know, it starts pretty early our time, but it was a mass exodus. Like, every unrestricted free agent this team had is gone. They re-signed nobody. Jonathan Marchessault, gone. Chandler Stephenson, gone. Michael Amadio, gone. William Carrier, gone. Backup goalie, Yuri Patera, gone. So it was a bit surprising because I had heard, I obviously was at the draft this past weekend and at the NHL Awards, and I had heard that there was a desire to keep both Marchessault and Stephenson. Mm-hmm. And apparently there was a desire from both parties for those guys to stay here. I was told that there was a good offer. That was the word, good offer. Now, I guess it depends on whose perspective you're looking at. And from Marchessault, if you read some of the comments he made to TSN, he didn't think it was a good offer.
Okay.
But I was told it was a good offer. And I trust the person who told me it was a good offer. He walked away. Chandler Stephenson. I woke up, and after I saw the Marchessault news, I'm like, all right, they'll re-sign Chandler Stephenson. No, that didn't happen. And when you look at the deal that those guys got, it was not a possibility for this team to match those offers. Like, it just was not something that could be done. I think when you see Stephenson getting 7 years at $6.3 million, I knew he was going to get a bump. I didn't think he would get a bump like that, but Seattle obviously really, really coveted him. They wanted to make sure that he stayed, that he signed there, so they gave him a lot of money. I was really surprised to see everybody leave. I knew William Carrier was going to leave. I heard things about that way back when the season was still going on, that he was not going to be re-signed. And the story I was told was he was going to go to Dallas. He did not go to Dallas. He went to Carolina. But very, very surprising to see all of those guys gone.
Well, why are they in this predicament? Because, as I said before you came on, Chris Chapman joins us in studio covering VGK, that they've been such a great team from the inaugural expansion year, getting great players. Marc-Andre Fleury, we were on the day when he left. It was defining, devastating for the city.
Yeah.
But they ended up winning a cup with Logan Thompson, and they had some depth at the goalie position, at least I thought, after a bizarre goalie signing in between that. But when you sign players and you go all in, like VGK has over 5 or 6 years, is this just the salary cap coming home to roost? Is this what happens when you make runs like this and you sign guys and bring guys up and you just look around one day and say, we can't continue to operate this way?
Well, I think you have to look at it from the perspective that in 8 years, we will now be entering season eight. Believe it or not, season eight in October. They've had the same front office. It's been George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon. Mm-hmm. It's very unusual for especially at the expansion level, for a team to come in and have the same guys running the show for so many years. They evolve, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've learned from some of the mistakes. I think they look back at the Marc-Andre Fleury situation, giving him an extension after year one. Probably not the best bit of business for them to do. And it ended up with them having to trade him and getting nothing in return. The player they got from Chicago, they told them, don't even bother packing your bags. Stay there. So I think they've learned a couple of things, and one thing that they do better, and I think better than anyone else in the National Hockey League, They take the emotion out of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no emotion when they go into the negotiating
room.
Great
point.
And yeah. I think in order to win, we see it. You know, you're around the NFL all the time. You see it. Teams that give guys contracts based on what they've done in the past as opposed to what they believe a guy is going to do in the future, they generally don't work out. I've been a New York Jet fan for 35 years. I have seen this team give out stupid contract after stupid contract. And there's a reason why they won the division like twice in my lifetime. Good teams move on from players when they don't believe that that player is going to contribute in the future. Pittsburgh Steelers, perfect example of a team that does that maybe better than anyone else.
Yeah, the Bill Walsh 49ers back in the day. He'd rather get rid of a player a year too soon than a year too late. Chris Chapman joins us covering VGK. Let's get back to Marcisseau because I was going back and forth with a friend of mine. And if you want another year on a contract, very similar to Paul George. Paul George wanted 4 years. The Clippers gave him three. Well, he ended up going for 4 years. Sometimes I'm fascinated by how a guy would want to leave his home in an enclave in Summerlin, family, the whole deal, and move for an extra year. Now, I understand a catastrophic injury, having that type of commitment on the back end of your life. It's significant money, but I would think that Marcisseau, if he took a deal here and it was 1 year short, would still get another contract on the back end of his career somewhere else, not for the same amount of money. Did you really think he would leave over money? Because he's such a good fit here.
Yeah.
You want a Conn Smythe.
It was, I kept thinking it was going to be about a 3 year deal. I figured six and a half. He got a lot of money from Nashville.
Yeah, he did.
And the important factor here is Tennessee, no state tax. Mm-hmm. So for him to get that, and the other aspect with Marcisseau we have to look at is this is a guy who was a late bloomer. He bounced around a lot early in his career, was up and down, in and out of the AHL. So while guys were signing big contracts early in their career, Marcisseau never really had that chance.
Mm-hmm.
So for him, this was the one opportunity, at I think in his opinion, my last big deal. And, you know, it didn't work out. And I think cooler, the way I look at it, it's beneficial for both teams.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the Golden Knights, while they'll miss his production next year, I don't foresee a 39-year-old Jonathan Marcisseau scoring 35 goals in the NHL. It just doesn't work that way. Sure, there are rare cases, but you don't want Jonathan Marcisseau eating $5.5 million on your cap at 38 years old scoring 12 goals. Like, you just don't want that.
Yeah, good point.
And so, for him, he gets the money. For the Golden Knights, they're now free because, elephant in the room, Jack Eichel's contract is going to be up in 2 years. He makes $10.5 million a year. You're going to have that money in order to extend him because you're not going to let him walk away. You're not letting that guy leave. He is now your franchise player. You don't let him leave. So you're going to have to sign him. You've got some other big contracts coming off. Mark Stone coming off in a couple of years. Alex Pietrangelo coming off in a couple of years. So this is an organization right now. I think that what they signify today is we're not thinking about next year. We're thinking about 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road. We want to be competitive. We don't want to fall off a cliff. We don't want to be that team. We don't want to be the San Jose Sharks. And granted, they never won, but they went to a final, and it's been all downhill for them since.
Right. Chris Chapman is our guest. Magnum joins us in studio. He covers the Vegas Golden Knights. All right, so the goaltender situation. Where are we at in Vegas now? It's been very dramatic at the goaltender position here in this town, media-wise, but Logan Thompson did help win a cup here, very important, and I thought he was a class act getting that news at Sphere, about to do a signing from everything I saw, and smiling and really cool about it. A lot of guys just would have walked out of there, decompressed, called a family member, said, "Yeah, I got to get out of here and figure out what's happening." Walk me through the goaltender position now for the Golden Knights.
Well, it's Aiden Hill's net, and it sounds like they're going to sign Ilya Samsonov, who comes over from Toronto. A guy who, when he's on, he's a really good goalie.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bigger guy, 6'3", over 200 pounds. Yeah. So he kind of fills the guy that Sean Burke likes, a bigger goalie, a little bit more heavier. So I think it's going to be those two guys going into camp. And then they got Akira Schmid. I've heard it pronounced Schmid. I'm not sure exactly. We'll have to ask him. But they got him in the deal with New Jersey. And he was a guy who played really well in the playoffs for the Devils a couple of years ago, but just was never really able to find it. But the Devils, not a good defensive team. Golden Knights, they rely on defense. So he's a guy who, while they're projecting him to be the third goalie in Henderson, if one of these other guys goes down, he's going to get the call-up. And I think he could be a pretty good number three goalie. The name to keep an eye on, and it's a kid named Carl Lindbom. He played for Djurgården in the Swedish league, and he was the best young goalie in Sweden for the last couple of seasons. They drafted him a few years ago. He left Sweden. He's now in Vegas. He's going to be part of development camp. I don't think he's going to play in the league this year, but he is a name for the future to keep an eye on. I think he's the best goalie prospect in the system. He might be one of the best goalie prospects in the entire NHL. Carl Lindbom, keep an eye on that name.
Chris Chapman's our guest as we wrap it up. Did the Vegas Golden Knights lose their future window to win a cup?
I think they've taken a step back for sure. But like I said, this is a team that is looking to be a contender many years down the road. Mm-hmm. They don't want to just win that one cup and go away. They might take a step back next year, but this is an organization that is bold. They have the approval of the owner to go out and do what you need to do to win. Bill Foley, he's not like some of these clowns who just wants to own the team. He wants to win. It's paramount for him, winning. He wants to win in the Premier League with Bournemouth. He wants to win in everything else he's involved in. He's got, these guys have the green light to go out and do what they need to do. Okay. So I don't think they're going to stand pat. I expect that there will be a big move, whether it's a trade or something else that happens before the season starts. The Golden Knights will do something. They're not just going to sit on their hands. They're short. They're short players.
Well, look, I see them doing that. What I've loved about this team, they've been so good to us here on the flagship station and the shows you do. And I just know that if it gets to the trade deadline and they want to make a move, they're going to do it.
They'll do it.
And I'm a Yankee fan, as you know. That's what I want to know. I mean, how many – you got guys who are great players. If even if they're going to stay on the payroll, the Yankees have always said, you're not getting it done. Mm-hmm. We're not going to eat your contract. We're bringing in someone else because we want to win. I sense, and I love that about this city and what's happening now with all this professional sports here, that the Golden Knights understand if there's a way to better the team in the short term and help the fan base maybe make another deep playoff run, Mr. Foley's going to do that.
Yeah, and they did that last trade deadline.
They did.
You know, they went out and got Noah Hanifin from Calgary, and then they locked him up. I mean, he's 25 years old.
That's a great point you're making.
And they've got him locked. Like, by the time his contract expires, he will be the age that Marchessault is now, but he's got 8 years. Like, he is one of the best young defensemen. I watched him last year when he got here, and I said it immediately, he's the best defenseman on the team. Better than Shea Theodore, better than Alex Pietrangelo. He's going to be a star.
Last one, what was the reaction on your show from the Vegas Golden Knight fans with all this chaos and movement here over the last 24, 48 hours?
It's been, from what I've, you know, been talking to fans on social media, they a lot of them are not happy, but there's a lot who see my point as well, where I'm getting, I agree with you. Don't give Marchessault the 5 years. I think there's some fans who will need to be talked off the ledge today. Like, they're certainly not happy about it, and I will say this. The last thing I'll say about it is Marc-Andre Fleury was traded. He was the most popular player in the organization at the time. Mm-hmm. He was coming off a Vezina trophy, and they traded him, and it worked out fine. Everything will be okay. This team gets it. They know what they're doing.
Thanks for coming in. Fantastic content.
No problem, man. Always.
You got it. Chris Chapman, Magnum. What a great job he does. Appreciate him coming in here. And he's in the locker room. He's around the team. He's at the awards and the draft. I just believe, I'm just a fan, and I think I know hockey because I grew up with it and we talk about it. I love what this team's done. As Chris said, they're a team that will make a tough decision. They won't get emotional. And look, we've seen some emotional signings with the Raiders, right? Darren Waller. I would have extended Darren Waller. I think Darren Waller at the time was one of the biggest freaks I've ever seen. Hunter Renfroe, I wouldn't have extended Hunter Renfroe. At the time, I didn't think Hunter, you know, Hunter, there was a lot going on with Hunter Renfroe. A lot going on with that. That'll come out down the road. He's a great guy. I've only great things to say about him, but his game deteriorated. And he had a coach who didn't use him much. And I don't think they had a lot of confidence with him down the stretch. So with everything that's happening in business and sports, you got to come to grips with it. I'm a highly emotional sports fan, and I try to bring that to the radio. You know, I'm a homer for the teams that I want to win. The teams that I want to win on the radio, the Raiders, I'm a Yankee fan, Vegas Golden Knights, the teams that I want to do well, that I feel like I'm invested in, either as a job or as a fan. You know, Yankees are the best team in baseball for most of the year. Every time I lose a game, I want to fire the manager. Every time. I'm cranky Yankee. I'm like, fire Boone. because I don't think he's the right answer. But I do think Vegas has the right answer when it comes to the management of this team and the owner of the team. It's just going to be different when we walk in that building for the home opener this upcoming season. There's going to be a lot of players who aren't on that roster that we cared a lot about. Jorge in San Jose, you're up next. What's happening, man? Thanks for waiting.
Yo, JT, thanks for taking my call. Just,
thank you.
You know, I know you're talking Golden Knights. I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to the Sharks for the number one pick. Just seeing the Sphere was pretty dope. But I wanted to talk real quick now that it started in July about the honorable mentions for the greatest games, you know. And I think, you know, being a younger Raider fan, I mean, as young as a 30-year-old would be, you know, you mentioned that Khalil Mack was one of your greatest players on the Raiders radio last summer. And so I feel like an honorable mention. I don't think that it's a top 15 game, and you can you can debate that or other people, but I think the Khalil Mack game in 2015 at Denver, those five sacks, I think that's one of the greatest games that I've seen in my young Raider fandom life. Just being able to see a defense, an individual player. And I know that your criteria is going to evolve, you know, based on these greatest games. But as far as individual talent taking over a game and really playing against a division rival, I think that deserves a lot of honorable mention in the Raiders modern era, JT. And I just wanted to say that as we get this month started.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. That's an interesting game to talk about. That is, but I don't think it's going to make our list. It was a great performance. So the games that are going to make this list are the most – are the greatest games. Part of that will be most memorable. When I say most memorable, the Heidi game, memorable big game. Red Right 88, playoff game. Mike Davis, one of the biggest interceptions in NFL history, right? Memorable play. Game was pretty big, right? Super Bowls speak for themselves. That's why this is not going to be easy. So I'm going to try to thread a needle coming up here. Michelle Beadle is going to join us. So she's going to go through NBA free agency. And Eric Winalda is also scheduled to join us. The great soccer insider, a former national player for years with the United States men's national team. We'll hear from him. So I'm going to get out of here quickly here. We're going to get two guests the rest of the way. If you want to get in, 702-365-9200. Thanks to Magnum for joining us. He was fantastic. It's good information. You can't talk hockey on the radio if you don't know hockey. I don't know guys from Sweden who are playing goalie. I don't know that. He does, so I put him on the radio. There are experts. There are talk show hosts. There are insiders. We try to give you the best as you're listening. Thanks so much for that.
Yeah, it's weird. I've never been traded before. So, and any in juniors or pro. So, a lot of emotions, still running through me. And it's going to take a couple days of process. The only thing I've ever known in the NHL is the Golden Knights. So, it's going to be different.
All right, that's Logan Thompson. He's gone. It'll be Aiden Hill's net as Chris Chapman just joined us here. Welcome back. There's a big story where we live here in Vegas. If you're listening in Vegas, you know the Golden Knights here. We're on the flagship of the Raiders. The Raiders are the priority. But when it comes to sports in this town, we talk UFC, boxing, all of these other issues that we talk about. So we have Michelle Beadle coming up here in about, we're going to talk to her in about 5 minutes or so. On NBA free agency. If you want to get in now, you can get in here in the next 5-6 minutes, 702-365-9200. I thought we'd hear from more Klay Thompson fans on Klay leaving to the Mavericks. I thought this audience would be that audience. Again, I'm wrong every time when I try to figure out this audience other than Raiders. I'm wrong every time now, and that's not a problem. Paycheck still gets bigger and clears the same way every 2 weeks here. But a day like today, I'd love to hear your goodbye to Klay Thompson. Hey, man, we said goodbye to Willie Mays and Orlando Cepeda. They died. Okay, we said goodbye to them for a day. Klay Thompson's alive and well and has got a long career. Now, I'm surprised he got $50 million. But I'm not surprised because $50 million is throwaway money now in the NBA. The NBA now has throwaway money where they're basically just telling you, look, you play for us, we'll give you $8 to $9 million a year. If you're really good, we'll give you $25 million a year. And if you're an all-star, we'll give you $50 million a year. That you know you're going to get that from here on out. You're going to get that from here on out, no doubt about that. So that's a big part of it. A lot of talk that I did over the weekend was basically about the NFL losing their lawsuit in the Sunday ticket issue. And I'm fascinated that John Gruden is on appeal now, because I thought John Gruden was going to beat the NFL. A matter of fact, I don't bet, but if I was betting, I would have bet anything that was going to happen, that John Gruden in the state of Nevada in their Supreme Court would have won. And it feels really weird to me about the judges who were there, one who stepped down. But John Gruden's on appeal, right? So he's on appeal, and John Gruden has the ability to take this to the Supreme Court. Not the Nevada Supreme Court, like the bleeping Supreme Court. And don't think the NFL is going to try to take this to a level that high, too. The big topic that I like to talk about is money in sports. As a former stockbroker, I like to talk about money. And when it comes to money, when you steal money from people, and look, if you buy the Sunday ticket, was the NFL's intention to steal your money? No. The NFL's intention was to put football games on television and make it a little bit more exclusive, a little bit more exclusive, but we found out through this lawsuit that it could have been somewhere else cheaper. And what did the NFL do to make it difficult and more difficult to do this? And they got sued and they lost, and now they're on appeal. And it's a big number. And remember, that affects the ownership of the league, and I'm pro-owner more than pro-player. And that's not a bad thing. I could sit down and have dinner with Max Crosby or Tim Brown, who are players, and I think they respect my opinion. And I respect the owners in this league because I think they take on a lot of the risk here, and they're running a business. Other big story today, and I knew this was going to happen, Bobby. The mother of the great Pat Tillman is furious for ESPN giving the Pat Tillman Award to Prince Harry. All right, this isn't politics. This is something that's happening around the world. Prince Harry moved here to Malibu, to California, to get away from his dad, Camilla, his brother, because his new wife, his first wife, kind of doesn't fit in perfectly with the royals, to say it lightly. So the mother of Pat Tillman is very unhappy. At the annual ESPYs, the Pat Tillman Award goes to a person with a strong connection to sports, who has served others in the way that echoes the legacy of the former great U.S. Army Ranger Pat Tillman. ESPN decided this year to give the award to Prince Harry for his service in the British Armed Forces and his work in the Invictus Games for wounded soldiers. Prince Harry deserves a lot. He does. That Invictus game is a real deal. And when you talk about wounded armed forces, men and women who don't have their limbs, and they're competing as athletes, Prince Harry pulled that all together and made it global. He deserves a lot of credit. But Pat Tillman Award? Mary Tillman said Prince Harry's work is not a good fit for the award that bears her son's name. Quote, "I am shocked as to why they would select such a controversial and divisive individual to receive the award." Mary Tillman told that to the Daily Mail. "There are recipients that are far more fitting. There are individuals working in the veteran community that are doing tremendous things to assist veterans. These individuals do not have the money, resources, connection, or privilege that Prince Harry has. I feel that those types of individuals should be recognized ahead of him." Last year, the Pat Tillman Award went to the training staff of the Buffalo Bills for saving the life of Damar Hamlin. Remember when he went into cardiac arrest on the field. Pat Tillman was a Cardinal safety who quit the NFL to join the Army less than a year after 9/11. He died in Afghanistan in 2004 at the young age of 27. My son will be a senior at Arizona State University. And we don't go to a lot of the games there. We don't. But when you do, I always walk by the Pat Tillman statue. And the Pat Tillman statue in Glendale outside the stadium, the recognition of Pat Tillman at ASU, what Pat Tillman did had a big impact on my life. He was a great player, an unbelievable player there. And I don't think the problem I have with the ESPYs, I think the ESPYs overall is a garbage broadcast. It is. It's had some viral moments, and I love the Dickie V Award. You know, when it comes down to the Jimmy V Award, and Dick Vitale and Mike Krzyzewski and Jim Valvano and his great moment there. Huge, but a lot of it doesn't make sense to me. And this is a pretty big topic here that I want to get into a little bit later on. Michelle Beadle has been in broadcasting a great amount of time. Someone I respect. She's my teammate on SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, and a really good NBA insider and content provider also. Hello, Michelle. Good to see you. Last time I saw you was in a big steakhouse with Babchek here in Vegas at the Super Bowl. How are you?
Oh, my. I was just going to bring up Babchek because I don't know if you heard about his pool party, but dear Lord, I think you and I were the big winners.
Yes, I have my big pool in Vegas, backyard brick. I was happy. But if I was back, you know, I'm a New Yorker. If I was back there, I would have tried to swing by. I'm thrilled that you can join us tonight because I wanted to get into your overall philosophy of the NBA and your connection with the Spurs on this, opting out to make more money or to make a run at a championship. Paul George is a great example. He wanted 4 years instead of three. He got the fourth year. He goes to a pretty good setup. But, man, I thought the fit was supposed to be he was giving up everything to be a Clipper, and the Clippers gave up a lot initially to get him.
They gave up so much to get him. And honestly, we mocked that Rudy Gobert trade for such a long time about being the worst trade of all time, which clearly now that we've had a little time for it to marinate is not true. Now I'm going to be curious to see what this thing looks like here a year or two down the road. It is, this is why when you're an athlete, you don't do interviews. You don't say things like, I'm here, I owe this organization, I'm going to get a championship. I mean, Damian Lillard did it, and it was a prime example of I'll never leave Portland. Well, you know, following season, you leave Portland. You're not obligated to commit and devote your loyalty. But he did say a lot about owing the Clippers and championship and bringing Kawhi, and all the L.A. guys were out there, and they seemingly had a nice thing going. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to believe that fourth year was the ultimate sticking point. Now, I mean, he did go at least in his favor to a team with legitimate shot to do great things. If he'd gone to a Detroit or a Portland or Washington, mm-hmm. that would have been thoroughly embarrassing, but he didn't. But it's a bummer, man, because, you know, if you're Kawhi Leonard, and we'll probably never hear from him on his opinion, he took less than max. And I thought the whole point was they were building something together and sticking together and moving to the new building. And now we don't get to see that. So does it make Philly, in my mind, all of a sudden favorites? No, I've been bitten by that bug too many times mm-hmm. to jump that ship again. But, yeah, that was a big piece. And to pay a dude at 38, 56, or whatever it turns out to be, that fourth and final year is insanity to me.
Michelle Beadle's our guest. You know, I'm a big Knicks fan, so I thought the Knicks were making great noise the last couple of days. They really owned the NBA chatter with getting Bridges over and what they did re-signing Obi and how they were looking to track down Boston, and Boston's bringing everyone back. But then Philly comes in with a big three here, and then the deal for Maxey and extending him at such a young age here. So as you handicap the East, knowing that everyone's going to try to track down Boston and they're bringing everyone back, who do you think has the better team now? The Knicks, Milwaukee, because they'll come back with Giannis being more healthy, or Philadelphia and what they've done the last 48 hours?
It's crazy because, you know, we play these games, and every time we do, we always start the sentence with, well, if everybody's healthy, mm-hmm. which honestly we should just eliminate from sports language because they're never always healthy. And, you know, I saw some stat today. Throw away the fact that Paul George's last season was great. He played, I think, 74 games, which was the most he'd played in about 5 years. So it's almost like an anomaly to the rest of his career. But he and Embiid both were averaging for the last several years. Embiid, his whole career, 50-something games per season to availability, which honestly, like, that's not going to get me excited. And I love Tyrese Maxey. He is, in my mind, the biggest star on that team because he's going to be there the longest. But I didn't wake up this morning and think, whoo, Philly, they are now the favorites. I still think Boston's got to be the top. I think what the Knicks have going for them that you can't really put on paper when we play the game of superstar is the heart. I mean, you saw it. That was a run that was improbable and probably premature, and I think it's just going to get better and better. The Hartenstein stuff today hurt, but you can't blame the dude. That was not the difference between a couple million a year. That was a monster raise. So good for him, and he's going to one hell of a great situation as well. I still think it's Boston's, obviously, defending champs will always get my vote until proven otherwise. And then I think the Knicks are up there, and I think the Sixers are after that. I don't buy Milwaukee. There was something about the way everything played out last year. There was a reveal, really, of kind of some flaws. And I think it honestly started when you fire a coach a few games into a season who's doing well. Like, to me, that was such a weird karma builder that I didn't understand it. And I'm not counting on health. I just can't. Mm. We've been bitten too many times.
You nailed it. Michelle Beadle's our guest, my teammate here on SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. You nailed it. With the health of players in the modern NBA, you don't know who's going to be available, let alone for a playoff run. I thought with Clay, you know, and covering there, and I was living up there for a little bit and traveling there to watch a portion of their dynasty, and I think it's the greatest example of a guy getting out to a better scenario. He's clearly going to a better team than the Warriors as of today on paper. The Warriors really negotiated him a better deal going forward. He's going to new ownership in Dallas that's not afraid to spend, and he's going to be out there playing more minutes than he would have played possibly with another team such as the Lakers. We had Michael Thompson on last week, and he said that he'd be interested in the Lakers. How do you think of this exit strategy so far for Clay getting out of Golden State, San Francisco?
I am stoked. I mean, we were all sort of reading the same guesses as to where he was headed, and every time that Lakers one popped up, first of all, I didn't get it from either side. I didn't really see why he would want to necessarily go to that team who was really, I'm not 100% sure what the plan is there, and I didn't see how he was necessarily going to be the big piece that puts them over if, in fact, LeBron is GMing something towards a championship. It didn't make sense to me. I love that he's going to Dallas. When we saw the move of Derrick Jones, I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And then, you know, several hours later, you get the Klay Thompson news. Good for him. Like, he's going to a team that just, yeah, they didn't win the finals, but they were in it. And they're just going to get better and better. And they've got a lot of young talent that's going to continue to grow in this league. And then you just, you know, throw a Luka in there. You should be fine. It's such a moment for him. And I've been thinking, since the moment it became quite clear that Klay wasn't going to be a Warrior anymore, which it's going to take some getting used to. Even that sort of computer-generated image of him in a Mavs jersey was weird today. But I think wherever he was going to end up, and now we know it's Dallas, it's a fresh start. It is the freshest of starts. We've only known him as a Warrior. So to get to see him, brand-new situation, brand-new team. Yeah, he's still in the West. Who cares? I just think we're going to get a better version of Clay because his last game, and I know a lot of people parked on it, and it is kind of funny, was 0 for 10. That's the last we saw of Clay Thompson.
Yeah, good
that
point.
Is not the way a dude like that deserves to go out. So I'm stoked for him. And as you know, living out in Nevada, that no state tax situation, man, that just got real nice for him. Very well played, Clay.
Wrapping it up with Michelle Beadle. Finally, I got a deep history with the Spurs being at the Memorial Day Miracle in 99 and following Pop and going to so many games over the years. And I just don't know what's going on because it should be all about Wembanyama and developing him and Pop. And how many games does Pop need to win? He doesn't have to. He's Pop. He's going to be there as long as he wants on his term. But Chris Paul, clearly he wanted to play, and he's going to have the ability to play a lot here, but you know the organization as good as anyone. What was the thinking behind this move? Why was this a landing spot for Chris Paul?
I mean, look, from the Chris Paul angle, it's almost refreshing in the sense of maybe we just witnessed a guy who's played in this league a very long time, will always could be considered one of the great, never going to get a ring. And it felt like this was the sort of final, all right, I'm not chasing the ring anymore. What I am going to do, though, as a 39-year-old point guard, is I'm going to go play with a generational talent in Wemby, and I'm just going to have fun. You know, it's a one-year deal. He's basically being paid to come in as Yoda. I know there's a mutual respect between he and Pop, obviously, and his time in this league. What's crazy to me, JT, and I was not overly thrilled as a lifelong Spurs fan, is putting it mildly, by the way. I'm not a Chris Paul fan. I mean, as a Spurs fan, we did not grow up loving Chris Paul, and we have not loved Chris Paul. And so that's going to be interesting to me, is to see him in that first home game in a Spurs jersey. Obviously, he will be embraced, but there will be a reluctance for some of us. He's had some moments. He has crushed us at times. I'll never forget in the playoffs in game 7 in LA, he hit a shot that was a dagger, and I was like, okay, well, I don't like you. And then there's sort of the antics that he's known for, and there's the dirty plays and the whining. But I do think in the last couple seasons, you've seen a lot of that just go away. And there's a realization I think we all have as we get older, like, all right, I can continue to do what I was doing, or I can sort of grow into this new version, wiser version of myself, which is why I think even the idea of coming in as this kind of a role, not a role player, he's probably going to start, but coming in to do what he's being expected to do, which is show this young dude the ropes. Chris Paul, 5-10 years ago, is not even playing with that idea. So, you know, I'm going to try to keep my mind open. I trust the Spurs that they know what they're doing. And, I, you know, all he has to do is throw a lob. I mean, If you're a point guard, this is a dream come true.
Yeah,
just throw up. Just sit there and just throw up. That's it. Feed him. That's great.
Hey, last one. I appreciate your time here about Bronny. This one really bothered me. I got... Yeah. The 21 and 23-year-old sons who happen to be Laker fans when we were living in L.A., and I'm troubled by the fact that people don't understand that he suffered cardiac arrest. I understand if you're not going to like a Laker. The nepotism story, give me a break. We both work in a business where nepotism runs rampant, right? And you're not my story are different than that, again, and we've done it the right way. But and I'm okay with nepotism if you prove you're good at what you do, like Joe Buck, and we're seeing it now with Noah Eagle and other young people coming in. Great for them. But there are so many trolls on X and Twitter, and there's so many people taking shots at Bronny when all the kid is doing is coming back from cardiac arrest. He played great at the draft camp, fantastic, proved himself, and he was taken late in the second round. He's going to play with his dad, Rich Paul, made sure of it. How are you incorporating all this and talking about this story, which has taken over everything?
Well, I'm with you. Like, the nepotism part, I don't care because it is what it is. I mean, Joe Buck, for God's sake, is one of the biggest names to ever do this, and his door opening was his dad.
Right.
I'm fine. I know he's a star, so I get all that. My issue, and it'll never be with Bronny. Bronny's just a kid. You know, barely know anything about Bronny. I think that the problem for me, or the way it sort of rubbed me the wrong way, was few things. Number one, the Lakers keep talking down to all of us. Like, oh, LeBron had no part in the coaching search. Oh, you know, Bronny earned his way, this, that, and the other. It's like, guys, wouldn't it be much more refreshing if you just said, LeBron runs this organization and has for quite some time, and we're fine with it. And as long as he's here in this uniform, we're going to allow him to basically have his way. Wow, would that be so much more true and honest and authentic? The other thing was, it wasn't about Bronny in that sense as well. It reeks of LeBron. Like, this was LeBron's dream and goal. And you don't ever really take into consideration what Bronny wants, because I don't know what Bronny wants. I've only heard that this is what LeBron has wanted for years and years. And when we bring up the heart situation, which is obviously a very serious matter, it makes you think, well, would he not have been better served to stay in college a year or two more and get stronger and healthier and better and then come? But what was the rush? The only thing, the only logical conclusion is the rush is dad has only so much more time. So junior has to be in the league. And if that's the case, man, that's a sucky way to live out your dream. Because I don't doubt that Bronny's dream is to play in the NBA. Who wouldn't have that dream? But is this the way you want to do it? I feel bad for the kid. I really do. And, you know, I hope it turns out, and I hope he proves all of us wrong and that he has a great career and lasts a long time. But what a weird way to have to come into something that should be a dream scenario.
The only way this conversation would have been better if we were at Wynn together here in Las Vegas at the Super Sirius XM studio. I'll give you one better. One of my favorite bars in the world. There's always a JT top five. In the top five is the Menger Bar at the Menger Hotel across from the Alamo, where Teddy Roosevelt formed the Rough Riders. Babe Ruth sat at that bar. And every time I walk there and I go off that area and I get a cocktail there and I look up to the second deck, I say, this is one of my happy places. I love San Antonio. It's fantastic. I hope to see you there, or next time you're in Vegas, please look us up.
Absolutely. Absolutely, JT. Always.
Good talking to you. There she is, Michelle Beadle. Thrilled that we could have her on today. She's sharp. She's my teammate here on SiriusXM, and really like the work she's done over the years. And she'll push back. She'll post back on social media, and she gave the point about Bronny James that I've been talking about for a while on this. Leave the kid alone only because he suffered cardiac arrest. That sounds deep. It sounds, oh, weird. What's he getting? He's getting really deep here. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. That's the way I would treat your son or daughter. I would hope you'd treat anyone that way. The guy suffered a medical issue that could have killed him. He gets drafted by the team where his dad plays, and people are literally anonymously going on Twitter and ripping LeBron and his wife and the kid. Oh, my God, Bobby, what has happened with these social media adventures that we deal with every day? As Looney tells me, man, turn off my phone when I get away for the next few days. Maybe a backyard brick from a Vancouver cruise or something, but wow, pretty exciting today if you like sports. NBA free agency and NHL free agency. I mean, those are two big sports topics. And then the U.S. men's national team in soccer tonight Big scenario. I'll give you the scenarios when we come back, and we'll get that rolling. Good time to be in Vegas. I can tell you that. There's a lot happening if you can get in the water or don't have to leave air conditioning. It's a great place to be, but it's tough to be outside, man. And I want to tell everybody again with the pets, tons of water. Don't make an accident and leave them outside. Protect your pets this time of year. My dog turns 10 years old today.
We got our ass beat by the fucking Raiders on Christmas.
The Raiders.
Fucking ruined Christmas. Motherfuckers.
God.
Dude, Pace has got the... He had those dudes ready to brawl right there on the field.
They are kind they of were taking old school Raiders mentality.
100%, man, and I love that shit. And I was like, man, if we play with that kind of edge or that kind of, like, toughness, that kind of, like, don't fuck with us mentality, like... We won't be stopped.
Yeah.
And it just kind of it ended up like that. But that Raiders game was definitely one of the turning points for sure.
Yeah, Bobby wanted to play that again. That's a really good sound by Travis Kelce, who's mostly in the news for Taylor Swift. Mostly in the news. And I could do 4 hours on Taylor Swift and the Chiefs and how repulsed I am by all of that. But then people would get mad at me and go, wait a second. Who's that guy on the radio that ripped Taylor Swift? I didn't rip Taylor Swift at all. Why would I do that? My wife's a Swiftie. She watches every single concert Taylor Swift has with the time zone. So she's in the pool watching Taylor Swift. She's up at 4 a.m. watching her. I married a Swiftie. But I'm a hardcore sports fan. Hardcore. And what do I mean by that? There are soft sports fans. There are fans that kind of care about sports. There are real sports fans, and then there are hardcore fans. I'm in that category, hardcore, with a lot of faults to me as a fan, a lot of faults, but hardcore. You start adding Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift and a whole bunch of this garbage to my, and it's around me because I'm with the Raiders, and they play in the division, and they're the team we're trying to beat. It's bothersome to me. I didn't use the word hate. I'm not saying it's awful. It troubles me. Because I don't want this crap in my life. And there are some Chief fans that don't want it either. So I like when the Raiders continue to grow their brand and business exponentially, right? More Raider fans, more Raider fans. What Kansas City has accomplished in the last dating cycle of this gal and Travis Kelce will never be done in your lifetime again. Now, you can't explain to me. That means you believe there's going to be another Taylor Swift in our lifetime. Okay, let's say there is one. Beyonce became earlier. Who did Beyonce marry? Not a football player who played on a team that we compete against in the AFC West. She married Jay-Z. Okay, who else is left? Ariana Grande going to marry a Charger? It won't be Taylor Swift. The size of Taylor Swift. So Bobby says give it time, it'll happen again. No, I don't. I think this is one in a millennium time that something like this has happened with pop, music, art, football, in a team in your division, and you have to get the shrapnel is the word I'm talking about. What's the shrapnel? Oh, the Kansas City's practicing in Raiders headquarters. That's shrapnel. Oh, Kansas City wins the Super Bowl in our building. That's shrapnel. Another thing that bothers me, but I guess it doesn't bother anybody in town other than me, is that they're hanging out on our golf courses and in our nightclubs like they own the place. You never see a Raiders story. Hey, this Raiders at this nightclub. Oh, the Raiders are at Zouk tonight. Oh, the Raiders are at Omnia. It's on Entertainment Tonight. No, it's the Chiefs in our nightclubs that are great nightclubs. So, yeah, you're listening to a radio host. This is troublesome to me. That's why we have to stop it in the Raider Nation.
As far as I'm concerned, let them. Let him hang out. Buy him a drink if you happen to see him. Because you know what? Every single one of these things is a distraction. You tell me I'm wrong, I'm telling you. Every time Kelce ends up on stage with Taylor Swift, or Mahomes is front row at a basketball game, or the kicker's out shooting off his mouth, or whatever the hell's going on with these people, don't worry about it. It's just a distraction. You saw what Kelsey said? They kicked their asses.
Yeah, yeah.
And I promise they're going to come back and they're going to try to do the same thing again.
I'm in the distraction business. We have to cover it. We have to talk about it. But I'll move on from that. So I'll be off the rest of the week. And again, we're off 4th of July anyway, right? The station's closed, Bobby, on 4th of July. Lotus is very good at that. The holidays, we're off. We're off on the holidays here. And the rest of, so the rest of the week, we're going to have some programming. I don't know who's in for me. I'm sure they'll do. Harry Ruiz. 3 days. The Latino voice of the Silver and Black. My guy. Harry Ruiz. Love that. So Harry always books the show good and has some good content. And then July 8th, we begin the top 10 Raider games of all time. My opinion, along with a cast of other people that are helping me, that would like to stay anonymous. All right, stay anonymous. But some callers, some former employees, some friends are helping me with this list, and we're just going to have some fun with it and have a couple of shows, maybe 2 weeks worth of shows, and what it'll be a simple format. We'll pick a game, we'll put it on our list, and then hopefully you'll react to the game and give us your memories, like you did with the best players of all time, as we did that last summer. That's it. I'll see you in a couple days. Thanks to Bobby for putting the show together. Everybody else, Q's back, and he's got a big show lined up for you. And I will see you back here on Monday. If you're listening tonight, I'll be on Sirius XM 82 from 4 to 7 p.m. Big night with men's soccer with the United States. They better win this game. See you in a couple of days, everybody. Have a great 4th of July.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.